Well, good morning and greetings in precious name of Jesus. I really enjoyed the service so far this morning. The song we sang right after Sunday school there, "Will You Be Poured Out Like Wine Upon the Altar?" And I think if we really thought about what we were singing there, you know, the first verse is asking, will you do this? Will I do this? And then the second verse, it answers that and it says, yes, I will. I think we all made a pretty large commitment this morning singing that song. I think it's important to think about what we sang in that song. You know, that is really what this Christian life is about. That's really what we are here for. We are here to be poured out on that altar for Christ. We are here to serve Him. And it is only because I thought of the Sunday school lesson in relation to that. You know, it is only because Joseph was willing to be poured out on that altar. He was willing to take what God brought into his life and to use that. And he was strong in Christ, I believe, because he was poured out on that altar. For a message this morning, I'm going to take the text out of Ephesians. And I believe Paul gives us some maybe answers or a lot of advice on how to be strong in our Christian life. I believe it's a big challenge in the time we live in, but I believe it was also a big challenge for people like Joseph to remain strong. I just want to. The main text is going to be taken out of Ephesians chapter 6. I've entitled the message, "The Whole Armor of God." But first of all, I think even before we read several verses here in Ephesians 6, I just want to take a brief, rather rapid tour through the book of Ephesians. There's a lot in this book. We're not near going to cover everything, especially the first several chapters here, but Paul starts out in chapter 1 with just stating our position in Christ, God's kindness to us. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us to him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." He's just rehearsing, just reminding the Ephesians here of what God has done for them, what God has done for us through the work on the cross, sending his Son to die for us. And it is through that we can be in oneness with him, that we can come before his presence. Then in chapter 2, I believe he continues a lot with that thought. He talks about being dead to God, being surrendered to him, I believe, being poured out like wine, being poured out upon the altar to him, to God. In chapter 3, I believe the point I want to get there is in verse 6. Ephesians 3, verse 6, Paul made it clear to the church here that This becoming one with Christ and being part of God's family was for everybody. I think the Jews, as we go through the scriptures, the Jews often, they were God's chosen people. They were the people that God had made promises with. But after Christ came, I believe that was opened up to everybody. And they at times had a hard time accepting Gentiles into their midst. But in chapter 3, verse 6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Then the next several chapters, chapter 4, 5, and 6, it's just, I'm not going to pull a lot out of there, but Paul just gives a lot of teaching on practical living, living together as brothers and sisters, and also living together. We're living in this world. We rub shoulders with people at work and on an everyday basis. And he just gave a lot of practical teaching on how a Christian, what a Christian, us as Christians, what our purpose is in life. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Then he goes on to talk about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. There's instruction on marriage. There's instruction on children, parents' relation to their children, and also on servants and masters. I think today we would look at that as employees and employers, the people that we work with. So he gives them all these instructions, and it's things that we hear a lot too. You know, we're often instructed on how to live and how to be faithful, and sometimes that can be a real challenge. And I think in chapter 6, I'm just going to this time just read verses 10 through 20. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I believe in these few verses here, Paul gives them the answer or the key to being able to live out what he has taught in the chapters prior to this. In verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I believe that's a charge to us as Christians to be strong. You know, God's not looking for half-heartedness or for somebody that just goes part way. He wants us to go all the way. We're to be strong for him. Then he goes on to make the analogy between a soldier and us as Christians. So as we go through here, we just want to look at each part of the armor. But first of all, I believe in order for a soldier to fight, he must be physically fit. He needs to be strong, and I believe that's true for us as Christians as well. As a Christian soldier, we need to be strong. But it's not my strength. It's not the strength of myself. It's only through Christ that we can be strong and that we can fight and make it through this life. In Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I think many times at times we tend to take that verse a little out of context. I believe that verse, many people today look at that verse as, you know, I can do anything and God's going to give me the strength. But I believe that verse is specific to the work of God, living a Christian life. As we surrender ourselves to Christ, he will give us strength. If there's pride and self in the way, I don't believe that strength is going to flow through us, as it says it will here in verse 13 of Philippians 4. There's also in Ephesians 1, verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" There's just a lot of power and energy available to us as we surrender ourselves to Christ. And chapter 3, verse 16, it says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You know, he gives us this power. He makes it available. And yet, it's our responsibility to, he tells us in verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." It's our responsibility to put that on. We still need to choose and make that choice to accept that power that is available, or to tap into that power, to allow it to flow through us. It's just been really encouraging to me studying this, that, you know, the fact that I don't need to rely on my own strength or my own weakness. As we look at the power of Christ, we really are weak, and we don't have anything of ourselves. But it's that divine strength that can be put on for protection in the battles and trials that we face. He also mentioned that we need the whole armor. I think as we go through this, we'll realize the importance of each part, and not letting out even the smallest part of the armor. So as we talk about fighting and battles that we face, I believe we automatically can know that if we're fighting, if it takes effort like that, there is an enemy. Next few minutes, I just want to look a little bit at who that enemy is, at what that enemy is that we're fighting against. It tells us in verse 12, Ephesians 6, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, that sounds, as we look at that in our human minds, that sounds scary. You know, our enemy is, he is powerful. Our enemy is very powerful. In verse, just several things it says there in verse 12. It says, first of all, it's not flesh and blood. And I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. You know, we're not here to, God didn't call us to fight amongst each other, or even amongst, you know, the people that we come in contact with at work. We're not here to fight as people against each other, but we're here to fight against the powers of darkness, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness. In John 8, verse 44 there, the latter part of the verse, it gives a description of our enemy. It says, "He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, I think there's several different enemies of our souls, maybe, that we could think about. The one I think it's talking about here is, it mentions about spiritual wickedness. I think he's referring to the devil himself. I believe the world is another enemy that we face today. This world that we're living in is a big enemy. But I believe the one that might get us down the most sometimes is just the enemy of our self. We have to surrender self. And I believe that can be, I know in my life, has been a big challenge, just to lay myself aside, to lay myself on that altar and allow Christ to fill me and his power to flow through me. I believe we need to be aware also that Satan is going to try his best to get us down. Satan knows his destiny. He knows he is condemned. I believe he wants to take as many people with him as he can. It mentions there the wiles of the devil. I believe Satan uses many different tactics to try and put us down, to try and make us stumble. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You know, there are many warnings in the Bible. There's many places where it talks about his tactics and his ways of getting into our lives. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "He walks about seeking whom he may devour." And I believe that the thing that can maybe catch us many times is that he's not always easy to see. He's not always out there as a roaring lion, but sometimes he appears, tells us, as an angel of light. Also in 2 Corinthians 11, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You know, Satan's not alone in this. He has many, it says, false apostles and deceitful workers. There's many things out there that can stumble us and trip us up. But it is through this armor of God, this power that we can receive through Christ, that we can be strong and faithful. Like I mentioned before, in verse 13 it says, first of all in verse 11 and also in 13 it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." You know, God is always faithful in providing this armor as individuals decide to put this armor on. We decide that we surrender our lives to Christ and we apply his armor. He is always faithful in providing that. So now, starting in verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." As we go through here, we're just going to look at each piece of this armor, as I believe in this time it would have been the Romans, would have been probably the biggest army around at that time. But what it meant for a Roman soldier to girt his loins, or to have his loins girt, they often wore, I think as we see it in Bible story pictures or also from the scriptures, their clothing were a lot more loose-fitting. They wore more like the robe type, which if they were loose and flowing, it was hard to run. It was hard to get anywhere very fast. And as when they girt their loins, I believe it was a way of tying their clothes in tighter so that they wouldn't just flop around and get in the way, so as not to hinder their movement while in battle. And I believe it says, "having your loins girt about with truth." I believe as we apply that to us here today, truth gives us a sense of direction and purpose. I believe as we cling to the truths of God's word, truth is what holds our lives together. Truth is what, if we deny truth, if we don't build on the truth, there is no foundation there, and we will, I believe, just like that soldier's garments, we will be flying in the wind and probably trip over. In John 8, verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I believe that gives us the idea. If we have that truth, it's going to make us free. It's going to make you ready for the battle. But then it says in John 8, verse 34, then it says, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." I believe it's important that we cling to the truth. I believe truth must also be must bind ourselves with truth in order to keep us from stumbling over our garments of flesh, as we mentioned before. Flesh, our fleshly lust, our self is a big hindrance, and the truth will help us to bind those things up and keep them from getting in the way. I believe another thing that we need to bind with truth is our thoughts. You know, many times our thoughts can wander. I believe it's very important that we keep our thoughts in check. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Talks there about being tossed to and fro. So we hear, it says, the sleight of men, cunning craftiness. But we need the truth. Speaking the truth in love, I believe, will keep us bound together and keep us from becoming entangled in the affairs of this world. Okay, then also in verse 14, back to Ephesians 6 there, it says, the next piece says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was the part of the armor that covered the soldier's most vital organs. It went from his neck down to the thigh. It covered his things like his heart and lungs. It refers to the breastplate there to righteousness. I believe righteousness protects our hearts from being wounded and from losing focus. Ungodly living, or living in sin, which is the opposite of righteousness, I think will bring guilt. It will bring guilt, and it will bring wounds to our hearts. So we need that breastplate on there to the breastplate of righteousness, which will protect our heart from, as we live righteously through Christ, it will protect our hearts from being wounded. Philippians 3, Paul talks about righteousness. Philippians 3, verse 9, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I believe he makes it clear there again that it's not of ourselves. He says, it's not mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is through a faith in Christ. Once again, it's that power we receive through Christ. In verse 15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, I believe we can all agree that it wouldn't be very good for a soldier to go into battle barefoot. Having your feet shod, having your shoes on, your sandals laced up, I believe was a sign of being ready to march, ready to face the battle. And I'm not quite sure, but I don't think these sandals, shoes, whatever it was that they wore at that time, I don't think they were just very comfortable. As I was studying this, I read somewhere that many times the Romans would, depends on the terrain that they were fighting in, they would actually run nails down through the bottom of their shoes to give them extra grip so that they could stand, so they could climb the hills and face the enemy without slipping. And I think that gives a pretty good, it says have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. I think that's a very, very good analogy to God's word, to the gospel. Having our feet shod like that, to be ready to spread God's word. You know, the gospel, the good news, the Bible, it will stand in this world that is slipping in sin, and it will enable us. If we have that on our feet and we're ready to march, I believe that will keep us from slipping. I found it interesting as we read of the account when Saul was on his way to Damascus and God struck him down with that light. Saul asks, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And God tells him that, Saul, he says, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And as I thought of that, you know, I believe those Christians that he was after, the people that he was putting in prison, he saw their testimony. He heard the gospel. And I believe that was like he was kicking against these pricks. These Christians had their shoes on. They had these nails in their shoes, and he was trying to go against that, but they were standing firm. And suddenly God brought that to him. He told him, you know, it's hard for you to kick against this. And we know the change that came to his life after that. Romans 10, verse 15, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, I believe as Christians, our shoes are not supposed to be slippers. They're not always going to be comfortable, but I believe we need the shoes of a soldier. We need to be willing to be out there in any type of weather and stand for what is right. Stand for this gospel, spread the gospel, spread the good news. It says the gospel is God's power unto salvation. In Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So then with that verse, we go into verse 16. It talks about faith. It says, "And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." The shield was a large, most of their shields were quite large, made out of very, very solid materials, and it protected them from the enemy's arrows and spears. It refers in verse 16 to all the fiery darts of the wicked. It calls it the shield of faith. We heard this morning, it sounded like there's several young people came back from Bible school, and I think it's places like that, sitting under the teaching of God's word, we become stronger in our faith. It makes our shields bigger. I believe our shield continues as we continue through life, and our faith in Jesus grows stronger. I believe that makes our shields bigger and gives us more protection against those fiery darts. The fiery darts aren't near always the same. I believe they can be quite extreme differences sometimes. I believe they can be anything from false doctrines to the lusts of the flesh, the things that we desire to have. I believe even Satan, even the devil, even brings, as we look at the account of Job, I think we could say some of those things were fiery darts. You know, God removed that hedge and allowed the devil to bring all kinds of bad things into Job's life. But I believe Job's shield was quite large. He had that shield. He had that faith in God that he hung on to. And he was able to become stronger and to stay strong, to remain strong in God. I believe a strong conviction in God is what it takes in order for that shield to be effective. Romans 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I believe it's important that we continue to study and to hear God's word in order for our faith to grow. In verse 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation." The helmet, I believe we all know, is what the piece of the armor that protected a soldier's head. It calls it the helmet of salvation. I think it's important that as a Christian, that helmet protects our mind. I believe it protects our thoughts, keeps us focused on our leader. As we commit our lives to Christ and we accept his plan of salvation, I believe that's what gives us that helmet and that protection. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, it says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for an helmet the hope of salvation. He talks there about that hope. I believe as Christians, when we apply the blood of Christ to our lives, when we have that blood applied, we can know that we are saved. We have that assurance that Christ will deliver us. He calls it there the hope of salvation. I believe as we heard in the devotional this morning about this time of the year, how it can be kind of dreary sometimes, and we get maybe discouraged, despair, or fear sets in. I believe that hope of salvation, that helmet, can protect us from some of that. It gives us that hope to continue on. Then in the last part of verse 17 there, I believe it switches a little bit. It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I believe a sword can also be maybe considered armor, but I think the sword is more an offensive part of this, part of a soldier's gear. It's the weapon that helps him to move forward. And it refers it to the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12, the verse that's familiar to us all. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Believe as we have the gospel on our feet, as we spread the gospel with our feet, and we have the word of God, we have this sword of God in our hand, it will penetrate. People will see that. I had to think of the account of Stephen there in Acts 2. It said that as he talked to them there, they were pricked to the heart. I believe as Stephen laid out the word of God to them, he went down through the prophets there. And then towards the end of the chapter, it says they were cut to the heart. I believe that sword that he was using was cutting deep, and it was convicting them. But as we know the story there, they didn't allow it to change their lives, but they went on and they drug Stephen out and they stoned him. But I believe Stephen is a good example of somebody that had his armor on, and he faced the enemy. He faced the enemy head on. And I believe that's another important aspect as we look at each pieces of this armor. You know, it covers the front. There's no protection in the back. If we turn, the enemy comes at us and we turn and run, there's no protection. The protection is as we stand and as we face the enemy head on. I think another important part of this is in verse 18. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, we're not in this battle alone. Like I said, we receive our strength and our power from God, but as a church, as brothers and sisters, you know, we don't stand as an individual soldier. We're working as an army for God. And I believe it's important that we continue to pray for each other. It says, with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. You know, it's important that we watch, that we remain awake. And I believe we can watch for each other. And we can help each other along. Sometimes, you know, in a battle, somebody may get wounded, and at times we will be wounded, but I believe that's where we can help each other along. Help the wounded soldier along and help him to continue to press on. So in closing here, I just want to just run down over here again. It says, you know, when we arm ourselves with truth, with righteousness, with the gospel, with faith, with hope, the hope of salvation, with the word of God, like it said in verse 18, with prayer, I believe it is through that we will be able to, like Paul says in verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." As we claim that power of God, as we lay ourselves down and allow God to fill us with his power, we will be able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Just one verse in closing yet from James 4, verse 7. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I believe that word submit there is a key in this. As we submit ourselves to God and we put on this armor that he has provided, we will have the power to resist the devil and we will be victorious.